Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches. Napa!
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live Wide Open.
Off the end of the back straightaway, Larson's going to send it. Larson's in the wall. Larson's on Hamlin's back bumper. Logano leads down the back straightaway. Keselowski's in line. Now he turns him. Both Team Penske cars crash. Keselowski is up in a ball of flame.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you as we are getting ready to pack our bags and head to America's heartland, the Kansas Speedway, the AdventHealth 400 coming up this weekend. After we spent a weekend in Dover, Delaware, we made sure that everything was as comfortable as possible for everybody here in the first state. A lot of folks enjoying a lot of food, a lot of beverage, a lot of racing over the weekend. And on Sunday in the Worth 400, we saw a head-to-head matchup between Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson, perhaps maybe a harbinger of things to come. Last week, we also got news of the folks that made the list, made the cut for consideration for induction into the next class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. The vote will happen in May. The induction will happen in January. And there was several new individuals on the list. We're going to focus on one in particular, a name that perhaps maybe you haven't heard from a while, and you have not heard from this gentleman for a long time. He doesn't really make himself available to the media a lot, but we love it when he does. And we're speaking of three-time NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series champion, Jack Sprague. I got to know Jack from when MRN started doing the truck races back in 95, 96. Of course, he was a mainstay. I mean, he was a part of that Sprague Hornaday kerfluffle that had a tendency to pop up week in and week out. And between those two, Mike Skinner and the others, they were the cornerstones of the truck series. Now Jack Sprague finds himself in Hall of Fame consideration. So glad he has spent time with us on the show today. Let's go to the hotline and let's bring in the driver that is the three-time NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series champion. Jack Sprague is on NASCAR Live Wide Open. Jack, how are you? Welcome in.
Good morning, Bagman. Doing good. You?
I'm doing fantastic. Not as good as you, though. My question for you is, where were you and what were you doing when you got the message that you were on the list of consideration for NASCAR Hall of Fame induction?
Well, I was actually at lunch with my Beale Road posse, and my phone rang, and I looked down, and it said Wayne Auten. I'm like, this can't be good. He only calls me on my birthday and on Christmas. So I answered it, and, yeah, he told me literally a minute before it dropped, and I wouldn't have wanted to hear it from anybody other than Wayne. He's been a great friend throughout the years and definitely the best person I've ever raced under.
He does have a way of running a garage. Obviously, the folks in the NASCAR Xfinity Series are experiencing that now. But you experienced it when he made the move from the Dash Series to the Truck Series. What kind of law and order did he expect when you raced in his garage?
You know, it's really hard to explain, but you're exactly right. I mean, 100% fair. And even when you got in trouble, you didn't feel like he was in that much trouble. He just has a way with people. Didn't pull no punches. Is what it is. Right's right, wrong's wrong. But he had a very good way of delivering that. And it was never favoritism to anybody. It was, you had to respect him. He's just that guy.
And a lot of folks did, yourself included. Lots of champions have come, obviously, from the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Well, you have a resume that obviously warrants consideration. Three-time champion in the trucks. You've raced in Cup. You've raced in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. I know you've been asked this probably 1,000 times. Is there one thing in particular that you're the most proud of when you were racing full-time and even when you're racing part-time with us?
There's a few different things that stick out. I mean, winning Phoenix 3 times in a row and then being the first race I won in the Truck Series is pretty cool. But I'd have to say probably winning Daytona and winning Martinsville, both in the 60 truck for the Wilers. Two races that are very difficult to win, and luckily I was able to do that. So those stick out. And obviously the championships, but you got little things that you remember like that, and pretty special.
You won the championship in 1997, 99, and 2001, and you did it racing against some pretty tough customers. How would you describe the truck racing back when it first started? The series came online in 95. You won the title three years in. How would you describe the racing back then that you and everybody was doing?
It had to be awesome to watch. I mean, you had, Skinner, Hornaday, myself, Ruttman. It wasn't easy, and we all had good rides. So, week to week, you just never really knew, and it was hard. And the point system, the way it was really hard. I mean, you falter, and you got two or three guys right there with you. It's hard to get it back. So, definitely was. I'm definitely very happy that I did it when I did it, because I think it was a lot more fun.
It was a blast back in those days when the series first got started, and I'll maintain that. Even though we go to great racetracks now, there was something about the Truck Series back then that took us to places like I-70 and Evergreen and Monroe, Washington, and Tucson Raceway Park and Mesa Marin. Tracks that Cup didn't race at back then, but it provided that platform for those tracks to show off their facilities, and you guys did a great job of it. What were a couple of your favorites that we used to race at back then that we don't race anymore?
I-70 is one of them. That was a very hard racetrack. It was like Wilkesboro with banking. Those tires wore out, and it took a few times, and we finally won there. But Evergreen Speedway was extremely hard to get a hold of, and was fortunate enough to win there once. I like the road courses. I never won on them, but several second place finishes. I wasn't a road racer by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. It was a big learning curve, but it was fun.
And it was fun watching you do that. My memory of you was, remember that hot day at Heartland Park, Topeka? I think you were leading. Next thing you know, you're off running into grass, and Hornaday's off course, and everybody's going all kinds of which way. I have never been so hot in my life. It literally felt like we were at the hubs of Hades. What do you remember about that day in Heartland Park, Topeka?
Here's what I remember about that day. So I think that was in 95, I think. It was hot every time we went there. But we stayed at the Speedway Hotel right out front of the racetrack because we didn't have rooms. And I was driving the 31 truck, and there was no air conditioning. We had the fans out of the trailer blowing in the rooms. And I know what year you're talking about, though. That wasn't that year, but it was hot every year. But anyway, the year you're talking about, I can just remember going down the front straightaway saying, just praying, Lord, please don't let me pass out at the end of this straightaway. It was so hot, and it was so hot that we used to run at Hendrick's, we'd run a CO box, take the emissions out of the air that went in your helmet. That thing caught on fire inside the truck beside me, and I'm turning everything off. It was, I don't even know how hot it was, but it was bad.
I mean, it was just, drivers were putting bags of ice down their suits, and within 15 minutes, it's boiling. It was just one of those days
where they were burning themselves.
I didn't know that we had that much mercury in the thermometer, but we maximized that. And there were several of those days where I didn't know how you guys made it. You mentioned in your answer driving for Hendrick. And for those new race fans, Jack drove for Hendrick when Hendrick Motorsports was involved in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. How did you get on Rick Hendrick's radar, or vice versa? How did that come together?
It was kind of a strange situation. He was out there at Topeka, actually. He was driving. They built him a truck to run Topeka. It was the Budweiser 25. And we talked some. And actually, this is how it all began. So back in the day, probably, I don't even know what year it was, the late Jimmy Johnson that ran Motorsports, he calls me, and I'm working at Robert Hamke's, building race cars and racing late models out of there. And he says, hey, Rick's got a, we built Rick a car, the Levi Garrett number 5 late model for him to play in. He wanted a race car to play in. So at Hamke's, we built him a race car. And Jimmy calls me and he says, hey, Rick's got a friend coming into town. Would you be willing to let him drive your race car so him and Rick can play at Concord? We've run to the racetrack. And I'm thinking, holy crap. I said, Jimmy, this is all I have in this world is this car. And I'm trying to make a living with it and working at Hamke's. I can't afford to lose this car. He says, you're not going to lose anything. I'm like, okay. I'm thinking to myself, how do I say no, right? So I said, okay. So I don't know who the hell is going to drive this race car. So the day comes, I take the race car out there and I'm unloading it, and me and a couple guys, and car pulls in, and this girl gets out of the back seat, and she just kept getting out of this back seat. She was tall. And I look, and it was Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. I'm like, holy crap. Long story short, they play all day, and they actually, Cruz was a pretty good driver. They played all day, and at the end of the day, Jimmy Johnson says, what do I owe you? I says, you don't owe me a thing. I said, I appreciate it. It was fun. It was cool. Still have my race car. We're all good. Maybe sometime in the future, you can help me out. Well, Rick starts the truck deal. Billy Hess is running it out of Billy Hess's shop. It's the 24 DuPont, Scott Legacy's driving it. And word was, that was coming to an end at the end of the year, and Rick was going to take that program back in-house and run the trucks. And they were looking for a driver. So I'm driving the 31 truck. We're about out of money. We're barely making it week to week. I mean, we're getting the payoff check and buying tires with the following week. That's how tight it was. Three guys, including me, working. Four guys, including me, working. Driving a toter home, coast to coast, no plane tickets, no nothing. And so it comes down, and it's between Dennis Setzer and myself. And that's the year he got the opportunity at the end of that year to drive the, I believe, the 59 Alliance Busch car. Well, he took that deal, so I'd call Jimmy Johnson once a week. Hey, man, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Finally, when Dennis made that decision, it made their decision easier because he was gone. So they said, hey, they called me up. We want you to run Flemington. This is while I'm driving the 31 truck. We're still racing. So I had to make a decision. Give this up and take a chance on the Hendrick truck, which I had to. Went to Flemington, didn't run that great. Okay, ran okay. Says, okay, we want to take you to Richmond the next week. We go to Richmond, we test, we're fast. Terry Lavani's driving another Hendrick truck, we're both fast. Qualify, I don't remember what happened, we didn't qualify well. First lap, we go into turn one, somebody's underneath me, I think it was Butch Miller, and we were having trouble with the radios, and I couldn't hear anything for the spotter. And I came down, basically took myself out back in the fence, and I'm thinking, I have just ruined my career. It's over. There's no way they're going to hire me. Period. So the race is over. Jimmy Johnson walks up, and I'm just devastated. I know what's going to go down. There's no way. He says, this is a Thursday night. We used to race Thursday nights in Richmond. He said, can you be in my office tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock? We're going to sign you. I'm like, yeah. Couldn't believe it. Don't even know why they did it. But maybe because we were fast. Everywhere we went, we were fast. Up until that point, which is two places, but no result. So, long story short, they signed me. We ran the rest of that year. And I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years more.
I like your response. Hey, can you be in my office tomorrow morning? We're going to sign. Yeah.
Well, what are you going to say? I mean, that was not the comment I figured was going to come out of his mouth.
Well, you signed that deal, and you obviously win three championships for him. Then you went on and ran in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. It's fitting, though, that Hendrick is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, and all fingers go back to Jeff Bodine in 1984. But the Hendrick truck operation, and obviously that Xfinity Series operation you were involved in, that helped grow that foundation. What was it like being a part of Hendrick Motorsports as we reflect back on all their accomplishments this year?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, I'll never forget this. Climbing in that window, you know, you're climbing in the window of that truck, and right on the B post, it says Hendrick Motorsports, and I was in shock for years. I mean, Dennis Conner had a lot to do with me getting in that truck. He was lobbying for me, and him and I had a great relationship, and we won a lot of races together, and he knew what I was going to say before I said it, and vice versa, and it just clicked. Luckily, it was a good deal for both of us, and I think we both had the time of our lives.
Well, and you also accumulated a lot of hardware, a lot of race wins, a lot of championships, and you helped define an era in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. I know you've not been racing a lot lately. What are you up to these days? For those that are wondering, where in the world is Jack Sprague, and what's he doing here in 2024? What are you up to these days?
I'm just hiding out. I mean, I don't know. I sell ATVs, kids ATVs, and have a decent amount of rental houses, and just riding my bike and keeping busy and trying to stay active. Right.
It's what you got to do in this day and age, and of course that's what we're wanting out of you, because you know the countdown's on till the middle of May. We find out if you make the cut. There's a lot of folks pulling for you out there inside of the sport and on the other side of the fence in the grandstands. We just wanted to connect with you, see what you were up to, and have you take us on a trip down memory lane. Honestly, I didn't realize that trip down memory lane was going to involve Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, and Rick Hendrick, but that's pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome. It was a really cool deal.
Well, and look what it turned into. Appreciate the time, my friend. All the best to you. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you. But as always, you're a man of few words, and you don't come out and visit with the media a lot. But we appreciate you taking time with us here on MRN.
Thank you, Mike.
As one that will speak from a nostalgia perspective, considering all of us at MRN have gotten to know Jack over the years, I would say that we've got a soft spot for Jack. Hope he makes it into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He's definitely contributed a lot to the sport, and we'll see what that room thinks. Again, they'll vote in May. They'll be inducted in January. Lots of conversation about who's going to get in, who's not, will happen over the course of the next month and a half or so. And, of course, then we'll be able to discuss who makes that cut. By the way, you can hear that induction ceremony with Motor Racing Network in January. We'll give you more details on that as we get closer. Speaking of getting closer to the race weekend at Kansas Speedway, the AdventHealth 400. Let's find out what Las Vegas is saying. Producer Trey is here with the odds breakdown. Trey, what do you think about this weekend's trip to Kansas?
Well, Mike, you mentioned at the top of the show that last week's head-to-head battle between Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson could be a preview of what we get this weekend. Vegas agrees with that, because Kyle Larson is the betting favorite to win this weekend's race at Kansas, the AdventHealth 400. He is at plus 380. Denny Hamlin right behind him at plus 400, or 4-1. Those two did battle in this race last year, which was an absolute barn burner. And then right behind those two is the driver who won the fall race at Kansas Speedway, Tyler Reddick, who really kept the 23-11 dominance going, beating Denny Hamlin on a late restart there to win that race. Reddick, as I said, 6-1. And I think Reddick can do it again. I think 23-11 in this track, there's just something about it that goes together, and I think that the win Reddick got a couple of weeks ago at Talladega can really propel some momentum for this team, and I think they can get win number two. And if Reddick is truly going to be a championship contender, like a lot of people think he can be this year, he's going to have to start banking those wins, getting some extra playoff points, so he might have a little bit of a buffer in that round of eight as opposed to what he had last year where he was dealing with the bubble the entire time in that round of eight. Another driver who I wouldn't be shocked to pull something off this weekend, Martin Truex Jr., he's at plus 750. Last year, he punctured his tire very early in that fall race. He said before that, he thought it was the fastest car he'd ever had at Kansas. So if they come back with something similar, I think Truex could be live. Long shots this week. Not a very steep long shot, but as I said, 23-11 in Kansas go hand in hand. Bubba Wallace won here in the fall just a couple of years ago. Bubba is 15-1 to win, so not extremely steep, but you'd still get a very good return on that. And then two drivers who have performed very well at Kansas in this next-gen car. Anytime they race, they're up there in the top 10, close to the top 5. Alex Bowman at 25-1, and then Joey Logano at 35-1 are two names that I could see popping up there near in the top 10 all day. Something happens near the end, they could propel themselves on a late restart. So Bubba, Bowman, and Logano, the long shots, but ultimately I think it's Tyler Reddick who continues the story of 23-11's dominance at Kansas Speedway.
Wow, looking past Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson, I do believe that if it's not one of those two, Tyler Reddick's in the catbird seat based on what Toyota's been able to do and 23-11 Racing all at the same time. It's going to be a busy weekend of racing. Hope you're there to join us. If not, we'll have live coverage for you beginning Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. We'll have live coverage of the ARCA Menards Series Tide 150. That'll lead us into coverage of practice and qualifying for the Cup cars at 5 Eastern. And the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Heart of America 200 will get us all buttoned up on Saturday night. Motor Racing Network airtime with the Tough Truck, 7:30 Eastern. And then on Sunday, we are back with the Advent Health 400 NASCAR Live Race Day on the air at 2 p.m. Eastern on Sunday afternoon. For producer Trey and the rest of the MRN team, I'm Mike Bagley. Thanks for the download. Can't wait to talk to you this weekend from Kansas. Don't forget NASCAR Live Tuesday night, 7 Eastern. And we're back 1 week from today, next Thursday, with another download of NASCAR Live Wide Open. Until then, enjoy your racing weekend and so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Craftsman in your hand, nothing stopping you. Not a chair, creaky steel, even engine repair. Craftsman in your hand, nothing you can't do. Make your lawn, make your John, or that kitchen hat on. Craftsman in your hand, nothing stopping you.
From outdoor care to home and auto repair, do it with Craftsman. Find the tools, equipment, and storage you need at your local Lowe's, Ace Hardware, or Craftsman.com.